Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from Philippians chapter 3, and we are focusing on verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Well, we are beginning an Olympic series because the Olympics started on Friday and are practically going on even as we speak. And don't worry, it's not that I'm just taking this cultural moment and piggybacking on it, you know, just for the sake of it. No, I actually saw an opportunity with the Olympics to kind of deal with what I see as a dynamic going on in the life of the church. And that is, we view our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ like a game that we play every day. And yet, our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, we may think they look like a game, but they're not. So what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks, which is as long as the Olympics last, we're going to look at how we have humble glory through three lenses: the lens of winning, the lens of strength, and the lens of getting first place. So this morning, we're going to start with that lens that we have humble glory when we are winning. Now, that's what the Olympics are. I don't know if you've been watching it. I watched a little bit of it yesterday. And that's what the Olympics are. It's a competition, an international competition. Athletes from all over the globe have traveled to Tokyo, Japan, to compete against one another and to see who has better aim, who is the fastest, who is the strongest. And at the end of this competition, who's going to come out on top? Who's going to win? Who's going to get that gold medal? That's why we watch the Olympics. That's why we're excited about the Olympics. That's why we cheer on our athletes, because this is what the Olympics is all about. And yet, even as we acknowledge this is what makes it exciting to watch the Olympics, we kind of transfer this over into following Christ, into living for him, and how it becomes some kind of Christian competition that we engage in each day with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Not to get a gold medal, per se, but to get righteousness, to gain righteousness, to be the most righteous Christian. That's what we end up doing. We end up, you know, looking at our activities, our spiritual activities, and seek to pack our spiritual resume each and every day. I'm sure for many of us, it's just some kind of list that we could go down, you know, how many boards we've been on, how many committees we've served. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've been a VBS volunteer. I've been a Lutheran school teacher. I'm a pastor. You know, on and on it goes. And then you start looking out at your life. Well, look how loving I am toward my spouse. Look how well I've raised my kids. Look what a good worker I am. Look at what a good citizen I am. And it keeps going on and on and on. Look at your devotional life, your prayer life, how much you give, how much you serve, how much you love, how much you share your faith. It's never ending. And you notice that all of this is according to the law, right? This is so that you can show people and how impressed they are by you, by your lists, by your efforts, by your striving. And in a way, it just can't help but get into your head just how impressed God is with all of this. It's almost like we just can't help it. Well, look at me, God. This is our playing field. This is the competition that we either explicitly or more subtly engage in the body of Christ. And when we do this, there are winners. There are the people that get praise. There are the people that get lauded all over the place. And then there are the losers. Those who we kind of frown upon, we're like, you know, they had so much potential. Oh, you know, just not that righteous. They don't really deserve to get up on that podium and get a gold medal. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I hate to put a damper on this, but if St. Paul was playing in this game, in this competition, he would beat us all hands down, right? In fact, when you look at our text, you find Paul engaged in another competition of righteousness with his hated enemies called the Judaizers. They were Jewish Christians who, yes, they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Christ to come, that he had died and risen and had saved them, except they put more confidence in following the law of Moses, the Torah, keeping all of the commandments and the traditions, and especially they put their trust in circumcision to make them fully God's people, to make them fully saved and righteous before God. This is why Paul calls them dogs. He calls them evildoers and those who mutilate the flesh. But he doesn't just attack them. No. He says, oh, okay. You want to play that game? Sure, I'll play that game. And you watch me win, hands down. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Many of you were circumcised much later. I am of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the remaining tribes currently that survived the tumultuous history of Israel. I'm one of them. I'm descended from them, not mixed stock like many of you are. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I would put you to shame. I am a Pharisee. Therefore, I keep everything so strict and meticulous. According to the law, I am blameless. In fact, I have so much zeal for this way of life, I murdered Christians without a second thought. Oh, yeah. Look at my spiritual resume. Look at it. I've got you beat, hands down. You know, I'm the one that's righteous. I'm the one that's perfect and faultless. I'm the one that has every advantage over you, Judaizers, in order to get that gold medal. Kind of reminds me of another athlete for the Olympics named Matthew Emmons. Maybe you've heard of him. Back in 2004, he entered the final competition of his sport, which was rifle shooting. And he entered that final round so far ahead of everyone else, it was guaranteed he was going to get a gold medal. He was that good. And so this final round, he got his sights ready, aimed at his target, and shot a perfect score. Oh, give the guy a gold medal, right? Except for one thing. He actually shot the wrong target. He was so consumed with making sure that he was doing everything right that he didn't actually consider that he was aiming at the wrong target. He scored a zero, dropped from first to eighth, and didn't even medal. All because he was aiming at the wrong target. Paul found out the hard way that he was aiming the wrong target when here he was taking his spiritual resume on the road to Damascus to go jail and murder more Christians, when all of a sudden a bright light knocked him flat on the ground. "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And everything got turned upside down for Paul. It was right then at that moment that every thought he had of advantage according to his spiritual resume, according to his pedigree, according to his activities, all his righteous deeds, now he counted it as loss. Rubbish, garbage, the dung heap, last place. But Paul's loss was actually his gain. He had gained the knowledge of Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior from his sinfulness, no matter how good he thought he was. He was actually found in Jesus, not according to anything that he had done, because he had gained a righteousness that was not according to the law at all. But it was through faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, he lost all confidence in himself, in his flesh, in his works, no matter how good they were, because he was now trusting in Jesus, in his works, apart from anything Paul had done. Because, brothers and sisters in Christ, if there is anyone that would win this competition of righteousness, it wouldn't be Paul. It would be Jesus. I mean, look at his spiritual resume, right? The Son of God. He is completely sinless. He is the only one ever that can keep the law perfectly, right down to the very last dot. This competition of righteousness that you and I engage in, Jesus would beat us all and leave us in the dust. And yet Jesus willingly lost everything. He lost the comforts of heaven. He lost status. He lost reputation. He lost comfort, a roof over his head, food that he had to depend upon others. He lost everyone, his followers, his very disciples that he had called. He lost his trial. And finally, he lost his very life on the cross. All for you and me. All so that we would gain Jesus, so that we would be found in him, so that we would have his righteousness. It's that simple. In Jesus, you win. You win. You gain forgiveness of all of your sin. You gain eternal life through his death and resurrection. You gain salvation from God's wrath. You are now God's children. You are now found in Jesus. He pursued you. He went after you. He grabbed a hold of you in your unrighteousness and sinfulness and brought you into his loving arms. Because you have gained a righteousness that does not depend upon all of your striving, does not depend upon all of your packing your spiritual resume with activity after activity. No matter how good it is, you now have gained a righteousness of Jesus that depends completely on trusting in him. Because you now lose your confidence in all of that. your spiritual resume, your efforts. You don't put confidence in that before others and before God to be righteous. You now have confidence in Jesus, in his spiritual resume, in his activities, in his victory, his resurrection from the dead. Because let's face it, at the end of every competition that you will watch, there will be someone victorious. There will be a winner. There will be someone getting up on that podium and getting that gold medal. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, you're already victorious. You're already winners. You already have that gold medal draped around your neck right now, apart from any competition, apart from any striving, apart from anything that you do. Jesus has done it all for you. Amen.